Welcome back, friends. We're in the process of doing a little wrap-up on Monica, and I think it's probably an idea that we will revisit. But wives would come to her and ask her opinion because they would see what a virtuous wife she was and mother. And so they'd come to her for advice. And she would consistently say to them, do not gossip about your husband's faults. And I know I've given that advice many a time through the years to, you know, young women as or women as they're entering into marriage, and they would note how the length of years we married and so forth. And so I would say that, do not talk bad about your husband.
Right.
And it doesn't matter their title. And if they talk bad about him, you treat him like cancer and you get out. You get away from it.
Yeah.
Now, mate, you know, we put that in context. If you got a husband, right, all of this is within some sort of a boundary. You've got a husband and sure. They're trying to do an intervention. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the natural human foibles that you and I and every human being, right, concupiscence, have been born with. A cloudiness of sin and ignorance. Right. And there is no place to talk about your husband poorly.
Yeah. I mean,
talk to your spiritual director. You got, you want to talk
precisely. Go to confession.
Go to confession.
Right.
That's right.
That's what there are places for that. Or better yet, learn silence. Learn a little bit of introspection. Try and discern, you know, what you might be supposed to be learning at a moment like that. You know, I think that we...
Welcome back, friends. Sarah was about to talk about Our Lady, and our technology blew up, so we're back.
Anyway, Karen and I have really come to recognize that any time that we say something that we think might annoy someone, you know... It's generally because we're about to talk about the Blessed Mother. But all that I really particularly wanted to say is, because we were speaking about the context of not talking bad about our husbands or about gossiping about their faults or complaining about them to people. And I do think that, you know, we have fallen into this conundrum that the modern world tells us that the only way that you can solve any problems is to talk about them, right? But the Blessed Mother, we have so very few things that we know about her, but we do know that she pondered things in her heart. And all women, and I think Monica is an exceptionally good example about this. Now we have to remember that Monica, in terms of historical proximity, is so much closer to the Blessed Mother than we could ever hope to be. She was so much closer to the actual sorrows that Our Lady endured as she had to watch her son be abused and to be crucified. She just is so much more like viscerally present to that time period than we are. And I think that Monica probably recognized in her own sufferings how very close she was in those to the Blessed Mother, and to really contemplate those things in her heart and to recognize that those sufferings that she was being asked to endure, our Lord cannot be outdone in generosity. And so we as women, particularly in the married state, must learn to have custody of our mouth and to become self-recollected women. Be truly engaged in an interior conversation with God that is really interior.
Okay. Very excellent. We'll come to tips and tricks or practicum or, you know, in another series, but that's really something that I don't think can be stated too often, too many times, in too many ways. All right, let's pick up Thomas More. So Monica's in the 300s. We're going to skip 1200 years into the future with Thomas More. So Monica was a saint in that marriage. even though her husband converted at his deathbed, but she's the saint. In this pair, Thomas More and Jane Colt, it's going to be Thomas More who will be the saint, recognized by the church. Thomas More exhibited courage in the face of, again, ecclesiastical and secular outrages in his country. He lost his freedom. His life and his family suffered because of his unwavering devotion to the true church. One of the sins of the age, so sanctity and sin, was apostasy. He married twice. He was an exemplary husband and father. When visiting the household of John Colt, father of Jane, he fell in love with the second of his the father's three daughters. Believing it would be shameful to marry the younger while the older sister was not married first, he, out of a type of pity, married the older one soon after the visit. That marriage lasted 6.5 years, producing 4 children before his young wife, Jane, died. With 4 young children ranging in ages from 2 to 6, Moore remarried quickly to the silk merchant Alice Middleton. And we're taking, as we kind of go through some of these women, we see here in the 1500s, a woman, a businesswoman. She's in the silk business. So I guess I would be an international businesswoman. So I was reminded of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Middleton, the second wife, was hardworking and enterprising, if perhaps lacking in the youth and beauty department.
And very diplomatically said, Karen.
Yes. And, you know, given enough time, we all end up in that department.
More or less, yep.
Yes. Moore taught Alice how to play the zither, lute, monochord, and flute with time for daily practice. Middleton had no children with Moore. All right, so this is the wife. Alice would call Moore a fool. To lie here in the Tower of London, close, filthy prison, and be content to be shut up amongst mice and rats when you might be abroad at your liberty. So Moore had no one, if you will, in his circle supporting his fidelity. In spite of her condemnation, Moore loved her and his first wife, Jane. Moore completely relied on Lady Alice with the rearing of the children and running of the household. Moore's personal conduct was in all respects a practicing Catholic, all right, who prayed much, received the sacraments often, and was extraordinarily charitable to the poor and needy. Remember those 4 F's? We see that. Plus tithing and generosity. At his arrest, when a search was made of his residency by the police, much to their surprise, there were no treasures, and Moore's righteousness was publicly acknowledged. When we see a saint in Monica the wife, we now see one in the husband. As his martyrdom approached, he prepared his family honestly with stories about the martyrs and how the love of God is the pearl of great price, worth everything. He was a courageous defender of a valid, consummated marriage. So one of the reasons I thought he was particularly, of the many I could have selected, Moore died because at the root cause of it is a faithful marriage, consecrated faithful marriage. Second, of course, was the papal authority as head of the Church of England with a mandatory oath. So it's interesting, valid recognition of papal authority and a proper marriage, right? The sacrament of holy orders and the sacrament of marriage in that sense. So the refusal to take this oath, the mandatory oath to the Church of England, is led to his arrest. He did not speak against the king's supremacy in the church, so as a false and perjured testimony was given, because he kept his mouth shut, which is what Sarah talked about. The initial punishment was to be hanged, then drawn and quartered, but the king magnanimously commuted it to a beheading. In 1835, he was declared blessed, and in 1935, a saint.
Okay. Yeah, what an interesting time and an interesting conundrum that we're living in right now, that we call Thomas More saint for his absolute, as you said, defense of both the authority of the ordained priesthood in the papacy, but also to the truth of marriage. And its lifelong reality. I mean, especially now where we're living in, I think we can only say a confused time in regards to that in the church at this moment. And yet it's at this point where I think it's essential for us to cling to that tradition, which gained for us in this communion of saints, so great a saint.
That's right. And they, as you so wonderfully pointed out at the beginning, they accompany us. They accompany us when, right? He prepared his family. His family shunned him. You know, blessed are those who calumniate against you and call you for my sake. Your reward will be great. All right, my friends. In the next episode, let's take up Louis and Zélie Martin about 300 years later. Till then, my friends, be days. Oratio.